It is Wednesday, May 26, 2021, and we are back at Menace to Sports. I apologize for the, the vacation. We had a major issue in it with our website. We had 100 major issues, so I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but we had computer crashes, studio was shut down, then we had our website crash, we had to rebuild the whole thing. It's been just interesting. But when it happened, I made a decision. And so I'll bore you with a little personal information. I made a decision to kind of focus on my mental health and physical health and just kind of challenge my routine, right? Change and enhance my daily, weekly routine and really spend some time with my kids. My kids are in full-on sports right now, which takes up, all your free time. Any parents out there know travel baseball, softball. I mean, it's nonstop. My three-year-old now is playing soccer, so we had to add that in the mix. But it's been unbelievable. I've lost 25 pounds in really 5 weeks, and I'm really excited to crank things back up now that at least the podcast feed is fixed. We can get the YouTubes going again, the podcast going, the website, the Patreon, everything. So make sure you check out everything we have going on, patreon.com/menacetosports. Such a ton to talk about. Honestly, I couldn't figure out what all I needed to talk about that I haven't talked about in the last month. So we're going to talk about name, image, and likeness a little bit. My thoughts on that. Just touch on it briefly because I wanted to do this show 4 weeks ago, but I want to talk about in my opinion, the top five position coaches at each position. And we're going to start on offense with this episode and get to defense next episode. But I'm going to give you my opinion. Who are the top five quarterback gurus in the country? And who are the top five running back coaches? Right, receiver coaches, because that's more interesting to me because there's a number of assistant coaches that coach positions that are there because they're great recruiters. I'm not saying they're bad coaches, but I wouldn't send my kid to go get developed by him as the, if he's the best running back in the country. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about where Ohio State's assistants rank, in my opinion, and just nationally who the top five are. But enough about previewing the show. Let's get to the show.
What a hit! Denzel Ward, you got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Well, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts-Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
All right, let's talk about it. I want to start talking about the name, image, and likeness. Obviously, they're passing bills all over the country. Ohio just announced kind of their version of the bill that they're going to present. And I think it's interesting. The biggest question that a lot of people are talking about and a lot of people have asked me, especially some Patreon subscribers that reached out through the DMs, have asked me is, how do you think this will impact the kind of parity in college football? Like, will this help Alabama and Ohio State, or will this help NC State and Purdue? Maybe Purdue's a bad example, but I think it's really interesting because what you just created, what just happened is these coaches and these programs are going to be able to funnel money to kids. It's wild to think about. You think about the SMUs, Arkansas, who has a ton of Tyson chicken money and oil money down in Texas. And some of these schools, we're talking billionaires that only want to see their football program succeed, right? What about Oregon? What is Oregon going to be able to do with Nike at their beck and call? So that's my biggest question is, will those huge billion-dollar people invest that kind of money in name, image, and likeness? Like, how is each state gonna be different? So that's one option, right? Those schools could make it just an absolute insane proposition for a top kid to go to their school, right? And that would hurt Ohio State and Alabama. Right? Not that Ohio State doesn't have a lot of money, but there's a certain number of schools, and we might have to talk about that in a later episode, that have, you're talking about game changers, like Forbes 500 company CEOs, like richest men in the world type of money. And Oklahoma State is one with that, with the big oil guy they have down there. I mean, it's just, insane to think about. So that's, I think, the first scenario, right? One is Alabama and Ohio State, those, that level, Clemson, they've been recruiting at such a high level, and some of them not exactly above board, that they already know what they're doing. They're already recruiting at such a high level that they will be able to, be ahead of the curve, right? Be innovative with how they're going to build their programs and get money to these kids to make off their name, image, and likeness. That's one side, but I think it actually is going to close the gap. You're going to see some schools that are able to do some things financially to get some kids to come there, right? If I'm a top kid and I'm going to go all the way to Eugene, Oregon, right? All the way out to Oregon, and I'm from South Florida, like, how are my parents coming to see me play, or my mom, or my girlfriend, or my, you know, whoever is in their life? How are they going to come see me play? That's why Oregon struggles to recruit South Florida with the likes of, you know, Ohio State, Clemson. It's easy to get to Columbus, right? Clemson's not a far drive, and it's, I think that's where you're going to see, well, Nike is going to make you their college athlete of the year, right? You're going to make a shitload of money from Nike, and that way you can fly your parents up, right? Never mind the fact, and I've talked about it, that these schools can already do that. Alabama's already doing that, right? With the Opportunity Fund. We discussed it on the show. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the Opportunity Fund is essentially a slush fund the NCAA allows for schools to pay for shit that kids can't afford. That's what it's for, right? If you don't have any clothes, going through a hard time, maybe waiting on your Pell Grant check, and you need clothes, you can go to the DFO at your program, ask them for $500, maybe $750 to buy new clothes for the winter, right? Florida kid comes up to Ohio State. He doesn't have winter clothes. What the hell is a kid from Fort Lauderdale have a winter jacket for? He doesn't. So he comes up to Ohio State. It's about to be winter. He needs new clothes. Who's going to foot that bill? Ohio State can foot it, right? Go to Brian Voltellini, ask him for money out of the Opportunity Fund. Boom, you have money. So they already could do this stuff. This name, image, and likeness is only going to take it to another level and make it more public. You're going to see people in interviews. You're going to see, not in interviews, in commercials. You're going to see people doing all those things right in front of your eyes. And so I do think it closes the gap, and it brings some major players to the table. And I should have done this beforehand. I didn't really think about it. So next episode, we'll talk about who I think the major players will be in college football, you know, in 5 years from now, once this name, image, and likeness stuff has really taken off. But that's just my two cents into the name, image, and likeness, I guess, topic for now. We'll talk more about it on next episode, because I want to talk about the top five assistants in college football at each offensive position. All right. And I want to start with the running back coach, because I had a great conversation with a good friend of mine who's also a listener. That's how I met him, actually. He was on the show. He was on the show. We talked about all the Black Lives Matter stuff. Caleb Lopasser, he's a Franklin County Sheriff's deputy. But anyways, he called me. He was like, this is the show I want to hear. Top five assistant coaches in the country. Like, talking about Larry Johnson. Why is Larry Johnson so good, right? Everyone knows, I think you could ask almost anyone in the country, who's the best D-line coach in the country? And 95% of them, especially if they take fan bias out of it, would say Larry Johnson. Why is that? Why is Larry so brilliant? Certainly there's other smart guys out there, right? And I think it's interesting to think about the path of an assistant coach, right? Every young coach has a dream, right? They want to be Urban Meyer. They want to be Nick Saban, right? They want to be the next Hall of Fame coach. What happens, one, how do you get there? You got to be really good at what you do, right? You have to be really, really good as a receiver coach, an O-line coach, a DB coach if you're Nick Saban. You have to be exceptional at that. And then you become a coordinator. You call plays. Your offense or defense has to do great. Rarely do you hire an Urban Meyer who was just a position coach. And then you become a great head coach, right? That's the path. I think what happens a lot of times is guys maybe don't get their shot. Maybe they don't interview well. Maybe they were a coordinator, never got a shot to be a coordinator, or when they were, their defense sucked or their offense sucked, but they still were great at their trade, right? What got them in the business. And that is developing and teaching a position, right? I prided myself on enhancing my knowledge and teaching methods at the receiver position. By the end of my career, I did drills that I created, right? And Urban created, so like we created them together, right? Sometimes a DB coach would create a drill for me just with a presentation he gave, because I was trying to do things differently. That's what Larry does. Larry does drills that you will not find anywhere else in the country. No one in the country does the drills that Larry did. And I really learned a lot from Larry, kind of how he positioned himself as a position coach, how he developed himself, what he did. And so that's the kind of long story short. At some point, if you're Larry Johnson, let's say, or some of these guys that are going to be on these lists, do you find yourself in a position where probably not going to happen, not going to be a head coach, not going to be a coordinator? So I'm going to commit everything I have into teaching this craft, this position at the highest level, and try to become the best position coach that ever lived that coached, I don't know, quarterbacks, right? I think that's how we get here. And I'm going to start with the running back position. Here's why I'm going to start with this position. Because the running back coach, there are some exceptional ones out there. I have five on the list that I think are brilliant football coaches, not just running back coaches, but just brilliant coaches. They understand scheme well. They understand the position very well. But the running back position is so unique because I'd say 65, maybe 70% of running back coaches in the country are solely in that position because of recruiting prowess. It's a recruiting position. If you can't go get Najee Harris, why are you the running back coach, right? That's the question. So Alabama's running back coach is not on this list. But anyways, look, I just want to look at some of the running back coaches in the country. Michigan hired Mike Hart. Great player at Michigan, right? I mean, dominant player in his time. DeMarco Murray at Oklahoma. Cadillac Williams at Auburn. Kevin Falk at LSU. These are guys that were great players and have name recognition. That's why they are there. I'm not going to discount Mike Hart's ability to coach running backs. I'm sure he knows the position very well. But they are there because their name's Cadillac Williams. No other reason. But when you really dive into the position groups, I'm going to go backwards. And the number five guy I have on the list is because of personal experience. He's brilliant. He knows the game exceptionally well, pass game, defensive football, and the running back position. And he's not even a full-time position coach right now. He was at Central Florida as a running back coach. When Josh Heupel got the Tennessee job, he brought him as an analyst. He actually had just got the Central Florida job. So now he is an offensive analyst, whatever that means. His name is Matt Merritt, brilliant football coach. I promise you he will be the number one running back in the coach in the country before it's all said and done. At some point, he will be that. So that's number five. Number four is a guy I worked with at Marshall, Jaywan Sider at Penn State, running back coach, phenomenal recruiter, absolute legend down in South Florida. And kind of Jaywan's path is interesting. Played quarterback at West Virginia, transferred to an HBCU. I want to say FAMU. I should know this. He's a friend of mine. Wherever he transferred to an HBCU, ended up getting drafted one pick after Tom Brady. So he was one pick away from being the Patriots' long shot Hall of Famer. But and then got into coaching after giving a shot in the NFL. Doc Holliday was his mentor. I gave him his first job from West Virginia at Marshall, and he gave him basically, not that Jaywan didn't have connections, but he became Doc's guy in South Florida. Doc Holliday is a legend in South Florida. And so Jaywan just picked up where he left off and is a phenomenal recruiter, extremely tied in. And he's also smart as shit, former quarterback who understands the game really well. He's my fourth running back coach in the country. At three, I have a good friend of mine at Ohio State, Tony Alford. Just an outstanding running back coach, a great leader of young men, a really good recruiter. I know that Buckeye fans go back and forth like they do on everyone, right? He didn't sign, who all didn't he sign? I forget who all he didn't sign, like Zamir White and a couple guys in 2-3 classes. And then he goes out and gets Travion Henderson, just an absolute stud. So great recruiter, phenomenal job at Notre Dame, phenomenal job at Ohio State, teaches the running back position at an extremely high level, intelligence and understanding the game, how to set linebackers, really, really interesting. And number two is a guy I worked with at Ohio State. He might be number one. His resume is outstanding, not as strong as the number one running back coach, in my opinion, in the country. But Stan Drayton, who is now at Texas on Steve Sarkisian's staff, formerly on Tom Herman's staff, he's been everywhere. I've known him since 2005 when I worked with him at Florida for 5 years. I worked with him at Ohio State for, 3 years? I mean, just outstanding football coach. Coached in the NFL with the Packers, I think the Bears. Just phenomenal. Phenomenal understanding of the running back position. He was teaching that position at an advanced level that I'd never heard before out of any running back coach in the country, talking about second level reads, how to know where to hit the hole and how to sink the ball. Here's what I mean by that. When the running back is approaching the line with the football, right? There is defensive linemen that are getting blocked, right? And linebackers that need to get blocked. Well, the best way to create movement is for two offensive linemen to double a defensive lineman. That means if you did that and didn't ever come off, the linebackers would run free, right? So the running back's job is to bring that linebacker to the offensive line, right? He needs to set him. He needs to sink the ball all the way to the heels of the offensive line. And then when the linebacker declares on either side of that defensive lineman, he needs to cut off of him and make the offensive line right. Stan Drayton was teaching this stuff based on coverage rotation, second level reads. I mean, I've never heard a running back coach teach it this way. Absolutely outstanding. And so Stan Drayton's my number two. Number one is Del McGee at Georgia. I mean, it's hard to argue with the guys that he has developed of recent. And you go through his career and there's even more, but Nick Chubb, Sony Michel, DeAndre Swift, Zamir White. I mean, just dude after dude after dude. The guy can recruit his ass off. All those people I just mentioned were huge recruits and he developed the shit out of them. If you haven't watched Nick Chubb in the NFL, that's all you need to know. And the guy's outstanding. I've met him. Very, very, very impressive football coach. And really just an outstanding presence, an outstanding mind, intelligent, and obviously his resume speaks for himself. So the number one running back coach in the country, in my opinion, is Del McGee at Georgia. Now, you can comment on the YouTube video that surely we will put out and tell me I'm an idiot because your running back coach is better. And do that. Comment and let me know why. Why is he better? That's what I want to know. So that's my breakdown of the running back position. All right, moving on to the offensive line. The offensive line coaches, I'm not going to give you a detailed breakdown on every single one. Some of these positions I know better than others, the position and the coaches. Some I just had to do some digging, some research, and talk to people in the industry. I probably talked to 20 coaches and got their opinion of the best O-line coaches they worked with and kind of just made my own opinion out of it. This is, I guess, a consensus of college football coaches. Offensive line coaches is an interesting one because there's two former head coaches in here because, you know, a lot of times guys like, I think one of the best offensive line coach I've ever been around is Steve Adazio. Now, he's a head coach at Colorado State, so I didn't put him on the list, but he's absolutely ridiculous. What he did at Florida with the Pouncey Twins and the slew of NFL players we had and the way he was able to create a dominant culture and dominant offensive line in the SEC in that era against the defensive linemen like the Glenn Dorseys, Tyson Campbells, Geno Atkins. I mean, it was outstanding. The job he did. And so he is, in my opinion, the best offensive line coach in the country. I didn't count him for this list because he's not currently an offensive line coach. But I'm going to start with a former head coach, a guy that took over for Greg Schiano at Rutgers, was most recently the Bama O-line coach. He was at Bama, became the Texas O-line coach. So if you get a theme here, I think Texas' staff has some studs on it. Sark did an outstanding job. It's Kyle Flood, the offensive line coach at Texas, was outstanding. His whole career, his resume speaks for itself. And I think when you see a guy like that go with someone from Bama, that tells you something. And the people I spoke to said he is ridiculous. Absolutely outstanding. The fourth guy on the list is a guy that was my GA at Marshall and has slowly climbed up the ladder, but he's one of the smartest. He might be the smartest offensive line coach on this list. That's Alex Atkins at Florida State. He's a stud recruiter. He's young, a minority guy. Not that that matters really, but it does help in recruiting. And just brilliant football coach, studies the shit out of the game. I mean, he would call me July 7th, and be like, hey, what were you all doing against Oklahoma in 2016? You had the double guard tackle pull, just whatever. He would be studied the game like no one I've ever been around. Outstanding football coach, outstanding recruiter. He'll be a star down in Florida State and Tallahassee. So he's the fourth best offensive line coach, in my opinion. Number three is Doug Marrone. Hard to argue that he's not one of the best to ever coach the position, right? He was a head coach at Syracuse, head coach of the Jaguars. He's at Bama now, offensive line coach, just outstanding. That Bama offensive line is absolute superstar. And just the development, the fundamentals that they play with. Doug Marrone is the third best offensive line coach in the country, if not higher. Harry Hiestand is interesting because I don't know where he is, but I still put him at number two because he's regarded as one of the best in the country. I believe he was at Notre Dame last I knew. It was at the Bears, and then he kind of disappeared into thin air. I don't know where he went. So if someone knows where he is, comment below where old Harry Hiestand is. But, I mean, just, I don't know who wouldn't want to play for him. He kicked our ass in recruiting year in, year out, owned Ed Warner's, I mean, just owned Ed Warner in the recruiting trail. I mean, turned that offensive line into a monster. And here he stands, the number two offensive line coach of the country, the number one offensive line coach in the United States of America. And I don't want any argument. I don't care what your offensive line coach does. Justin Fry at UCLA. He's also the offensive coordinator with Chip Kelly. He's a Steve Addazio apprentice. He learned from Steve and then has taken that old school, I guess, methodology and has completely enhanced it to become new age. He's smart as shit, young guy, used to be a young guy. Now he's kind of young. He's my age, 37, but brilliant football coach, studies the pass game, which that's what always interests me, right? Offensive line coaches that don't study the actual route structure of the pass game can never fully appreciate pass protection. And there's a ton of them. Some guys that aren't on this list that you might be like, wait a minute. They don't, no idea what is going on in the pass game. So they have no idea what the protection should, what they should be teaching the offensive line. All five guys on this list, they know the throw game. So they can teach their tackles on these protections. This is the style of pass play. This is what is the quarterbacks, what is going on? Big picture awareness, right? Justin's outstanding. He's the best offensive line coach in the country. In my opinion, he'll work for Ryan Day one day. They're very close. They worked at Boston College together. They crossed paths with Steve Addazio several times. And he's the best offensive line coach in the United States of America. It'd be interesting to see how the whole Chip Kelly thing works out in UCLA. But Fry is outstanding. I mean, absolutely outstanding. Best offensive line coach in the United States of America. Moving on to quarterbacks. And I'm going to throw a curveball at you now. I'm including some head coaches on this list. And here's why. The quarterback position is your franchise. And if you have a quarterback guy as the head coach, there is 0.000 chance that that guy is not heavily influential, if not the influence, at developing the quarterbacks. Look no further at, I mean, the guys on this list, Ohio State, Oklahoma, some of these places, they can lose quarterback coaches and it doesn't matter because they are doing the deal. So I'm going to start with quarterback coaches that I can't jump on board with. Georgia has one, Todd Monken, a receiver guy, not been a quarterback guy his whole career. Now he has to transform and make that jump. I wanted to make that jump in my career at some point because the quarterback position is so important, but I never could do it because you don't have the time to study your own position, enhance your ability to coach your position, and learn another position at that high of a level, right? I know quarterback play probably better than most, but I was never going to be able to compete with Ryan Day at quarterback fundamentals and development ever. The guy's been studying the position for 20 years, right? So Todd Monken in Georgia is a big no for me. Got to go. Get him out. The one guy that I wanted to put on the list, but he just retired, was Dana Bible, who's Ryan Day's mentor. He was at UCLA. What I have heard from Ryan and a few other coaches is he is just ridiculous. And he really gave Ryan the path to study the position. Also honorable mention, who did not make my list, is Brandon Streeter at Clemson. Because, I mean, developed Trevor Lawrence, developed Deshaun Watson, from what I understand, is a really, really smart quarterback guy. And the other thing is Dabo is not coaching up the quarterbacks. He's a receiver guy. Brandon Streeter is the quarterback development man in Clemson, right? Where you go to Ohio State, Corey Dennis is going to be a great quarterback coach, I'm sure. But he's not the only guy developing those quarterbacks, so I can't put him on the list. Ryan Day is the heavy hand in that, right? So at number five, Buckeye fans are going to be pissed about this. At number five, Ryan Day is the fifth best quarterback guru in the country. Here's why. He did an outstanding job with Dwayne Haskins, an outstanding job with Justin Fields, right? He is recruiting at an exceptionally high level, but it's early. He's got to do it like some of these guys for the next 10 years. He's got to have some number one overall picks, some guys that kill it in the NFL to jump up on this list. Ability-wise, there's not going to be anyone on this list that's better than Ryan at understanding quarterback fundamentals, pass game. I mean, no one that I've ever worked with understands it like Ryan. He's brilliant. But Ryan is five on my list of quarterback coaches. Number four, Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley would be higher. I mean, what do you mean? He's had like number one pick after number one pick, right? Heisman candidate after Heisman candidate. He makes Jalen Hurts, who got beat out at Alabama, look like a stud at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley is not higher on this list because he's doing that with big time players, right? Now, you could give him Baker Mayfield, right? Kyler Murray, both transferred in. He knew what he was getting, right? That same with Jalen Hurts. So What he's doing with Spencer Rattler is another example of how good he is. Spencer Rattler will be the number one quarterback taken in the next draft. I will put a lot of money on that. So for you gamblers out there, go ahead and drop that money. But Lincoln Riley's doing it with guys that are supposed to be good, right? That's not taking away from his ability to coach, but he is getting big time players and making them better, and they are becoming first round draft picks, right? That's really important. That's why he's at 4 on the list. Some of these guys on this list, though, oh boy. The next guy is referred to, maybe he doesn't even know this, but several coaches in the industry told me he is the Big Lebowski. Google him. He's a quarterback coach at Texas Tech, David Yost. Long hair, just probably smokes weed on islands in the offseason. And just, I mean, looks like the Big Lebowski, the dude. If you haven't seen the movie, you're too young, I guess. But the guys he's developed at Missouri, Brad Smith, Chase Daniel, Blaine Gabbert, right? Overachievers. He developed Justin Herbert at Oregon, Jordan Love at Utah State. Overachievers. Guys that shouldn't have been a first rounder. Jordan Love got drafted by the Packers. They like this guy enough to piss off Aaron Rodgers, right? Just outstanding development that he's had his hand in with guys that maybe shouldn't be as good as they are, right? It's what I looked for. So David Yost is at number 3. At number 2, I don't know. There's only one guy that I think has a better resume, but he is world-renowned as the quarterback guru, and that's David Cutcliffe at Duke. I mean, the Mannings, T. Martin, Daniel Jones at Duke. He's taking guys and out coaches anyone else in the NFL. Look at what Peyton Manning did and Eli did their whole career. They have quarterback coaches, offensive coordinators, all these people that they work with throughout their entire career. Every offseason, where were they? In David Cutcliffe's office, getting coached and developed. Peyton Manning and Eli had, I mean, just that's David Cutcliffe. He's got the resume. What he did with Daniel Jones is outstanding. To have a guy, a first rounder, get drafted ahead of Dwayne Haskins at Duke is just outstanding without the players around it. I gotta say, stop saying outstanding. I've said it 100 times. The number one quarterback guru in the United States of America. He's also a guru because of everything he does. He is the GOAT. Outside of when he had a drinking problem and was trying to bang reporters, Steve Sarkisian is the quarterback guy in the United States of America. That's why I think the Quinn Ewers, how this plays out, is going to be interesting for Buckeye fans, because this dude's resume is stupid. Matt Leinart, Carson Palmer, Mark Sanchez, Jake Locker at Washington, maximized, right? The best version of Jake Locker happened at Washington. Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, a quarterback developer, a play caller extraordinaire. We watched that, Buckeye fans, live and in person, right? And just a schemer, his resume's there. I don't think you could convince anyone with a sound mind that there's a better quarterback guy in the United States of America than Steve Sarkisian right now in college football. Will Ryan Day be better? Sure, maybe. But right now, Steve Sarkisian, best quarterback coach in the United States of America. Book it. And I went through my honorable mentions. So that's the quarterback position for you. That's my top 5 quarterback coaches with a couple honorable mentions. All right, moving on to my, I guess, position of expertise, or as some Buckeye fans who are still mad at me, my position that I lacked expertise in, because they are the ones that know. The wide receiver position is interesting, right? Because it's trending more and more towards development over recruiting. When I was a young coach at Florida, GA, intern, the whole bit, the receiver position was a lot of times where you just had great recruiters that maybe weren't great developers, weren't great position coaches. That's just what they were. They were great recruiters. Get a bunch of freaks, teach them what route to run. They'll handle the rest, right? It is slowly becoming a more developmental position. And I think this kind of path that we're on is fun to watch, because you're seeing guys like Brian Hartline come up, and his development resume, right? Or his stature as a developer, people are viewing him as one of the top receiver developers in the United States of America, is making him into a great recruiter. That and his work ethic. He's certainly not going to relate to kids very well, but he doesn't have to, because he's real. He doesn't sell them, and he shows development. And that's what kids want, right? That's what they want. So I'm going to start with my no, absolutely not. Not a receiver guy. If my kid was coming out, my kid's not going to Oklahoma to play for Cale Gundy. Ain't happening. He's a running back coach his whole career. And I don't think he develops guys very well. He's the interior, whatever they call him, the slot receiver coach. So if my kid's a slot, I'm not sending him there. Now, if he's the outside receiver, I am sending him there, and you'll know why in a minute. my honorable mention before we get to the list, the guy that I think is brilliant, has a bright future, and is slowly moving up the ranks is former Buckeye standout noodle arm quarterback Kenny Guyton. Kenny Guyton is now the receiver coach at Arkansas, formerly at Colorado State with Steve Adazio, has just been working his way up. He originally went with Tom Herbin to Houston, then got on with Steve at Colorado State, and now has transitioned to Arkansas. And I think he's going to be a stud in the game. He's got to learn how to recruit at the SEC level, which he's going to learn at Arkansas real quick. And once he does, I think he'll jump into this list. All right, the number five receiver coach in the country. I met him when he worked for Jeff Scott at Clemson. He was his like assistant receiver coach, whatever you want to call him. Then he got the job with, where was it at? SMU, right? He developed Cortland Sutton there with Chad Morris. And now he was previously at Arkansas and then just got the receiver job at South Carolina, Justin Stepp. Just a stud. He gets it. He's kind of, I don't want to say he learned from me, but he's developing a culture in that room. I forget what they call themselves, but it's like how I created Zone 6. They're developing a culture. It's permeating from job to job, which was my whole goal, right? Was my first rounders at Ohio, or if I had an NFL player at Marshall, I wanted him to relate to my NFL players at Ohio State. He gets it. He teaches a position extremely well. He knows the fundamentals. He's going to be an absolute star for South Carolina. It's a tough go at South Carolina, but just a step, number five. Number four, Brian Hartline. I get it. Buckeye fans will probably be pissed about that. He just doesn't have the resume yet. And I mean, that's not a knock on him. He might be the best fundamental receiver coach in the country. I do think he could improve at unit development, right? And honestly, his actual development on the field is yet to be seen. He's done an outstanding job with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. He brought in a bunch of big receivers, right? A bunch of big time receivers that we've yet to see how good they are. I think they're going to be outstanding for the record, but we don't know yet. So you can't just say he got a bunch of five stars and now Hartline's the best receiver coach in the country. He might be, but we got to see it, right? It's got to happen for us. So Hartline at number four, number three, Holloman Wiggins at Bama. How could you argue? Jerry Judy, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. I mean, what he's done of recent is just stupid. I don't think it's ever been done before. And I'm interested if you could think of a time where a coach has had four first rounders that dominant in 2 years. I would love to hear it because just ridiculous what he did. And the development was there too. It was outstanding to watch Devontae Smith get better every year, from the freshman that caught the national championship game winner to the Heisman Trophy winner. Was just ridiculous. He's a brilliant football coach. I've met him also. He's a brilliant football coach. He's very, very, I don't know, just has a great presence, and you could tell he's phenomenal at what he does. Number two is Dennis Simmons, the outside receiver coach at Oklahoma. He's the guy that's coaching all the guys that you were about to yell at me about when I said Cale Gundy is not even close to my list, right? He coached CeeDee Lamb, Hollywood Brown, DeeDee Westbrook, Michael Crabtree at Texas Tech. He has developed some absolute studs. Now, I think a lot of that is systematic. I would never put him in the same category as Justin Stepp or Brian Hartline with fundamental development of the details of the receiver position, but he gets production out of his guys, and they get better. Big ball skill guy, not a huge route running guy. But anyways, Dennis Simmons, number two. Number one, probably the best resume on the list. Absolute stud when you talk to him about the position, is Casey Dunn at Oklahoma State. They somehow have a dude all the time. Tylan Wallace, the most recent one, right? These are not five-star kids. Tylan Wallace, James Washington, Justin Blackman. He is, like I said before, maximizing production out of these kids. They are becoming monsters in college football at Oklahoma State. This is not Bama, right? And I know they can recruit well there because they have a lot of money. But in my opinion, he's got the resume to back being the best position coach at the receiver position in college football. So he's my number one receiver coach at college football. And before we end this segment, I guess, I want to talk about athlete development. Because I'm gonna talk about it on next episode too. Because I have, in my opinion, there is two universities right now that have athlete development. They are way ahead of everyone else, and I'm not done researching to find out if anyone else is doing this style of development. I know Ohio State is not. They're pretending to. It looks like they are, but they are not. And that is a sports science approach to athlete development. It's not good enough anymore to just do wall sits, leg press to exhaustion, put chains on barbells, do squats. That's great for culture. That's great for toughness. But there's two schools that I'm going to talk about right now that are developing guys with science behind it. And that is LSU with Jack Marucci and Alabama with Dr. Matt Rhea. So these schools, what Alabama did is phenomenal. They lost Scott Cochran, I think is his name. I forget his first name. I think it's Scott. He left to go to Georgia and be an on-the-field coach with Kirby Smart. Now, don't quote me on that. I don't really remember exactly why he left, but I know he left. And Nick Saban made a conscious decision. He went out and hired at Indiana University, the Hoosiers, both of their strength coaches, right? And I'm going to read you an excerpt from the website about Dr. Rhea. He utilizes Alabama Sports Science Center that opened in July of 2020. The structure features state-of-the-art recovery technology that will be a perfect complement to the objective data that Dr. Rhea collects during practices and workouts. This data will help Alabama's strength and conditioning staff, along with athletic training and nutrition, determine exactly what recovery strategies each player needs to create the optimal environment for training and development on a personalized level. Saban hired both him and David Bulua from Indiana. Now, Ohio State has this. They have technology like this. They don't use it for anything, right? They don't have a doctor, a sports science expert that communicates with the staff. It is all through Mickey Marotti, right? Mickey Marotti runs the show. Mickey Marotti's phenomenal. I'm not here dogging Mickey Marotti. But Alabama's doing things with a sports science background. And I move on to LSU. Jack Marucci. If you guys didn't listen, I think it was last offseason, I did an episode about him and optical dominance, right? Eye dominance. Because they're doing things. I mean, they had glasses, right? Glasses that the receivers wear when they throw routes in the offseason. Glasses with a camera pointing out and two cameras pointing at their eyeballs. They measure pupil dilation, where a kid's focus is, to see if a kid's focusing on a football when he should be or if he's all over the place. And that's why he can't. They identify why kids can't catch. They also chart every angle that a body is in when they try to catch footballs, like a corner route going to the right. Now my left hand's the dominant hand, right? We did a whole episode about it. They chart it all. And then they make sure those kids are put in positions to succeed and plans are put in place to strengthen weaknesses. It's honestly, I was blown away. I got out of coaching, got fired. I go to start kind of learning the position. I just love it. I love the development of college football players. I talked to Jack Marucci at LSU and the guy that sells the glasses. I'm sitting there talking to him and I'm blown away as I learn the process that LSU is going through. And this is right off the heels or right before they end up one of the most dominant years in college football history with Joe Burrow winning the national championship. And now I'm learning what Alabama's doing because I'm watching what they did on the field against Ohio State and it was just an absolute bludgeoning. And not only was it, I mean, not only did they have great players, not only did they have great coaches, but their athlete development is on another level. So I am going to do more research into that field because I'm sure there are more that are doing things like them. Who would have thought that Indiana had this program that was so attractive that Nick Saban stole it all, right? But I think that's also a testament to Tom Allen and putting that together the way he wanted it. So I think you got to watch out for Indiana this year. And I think that Ohio State needs to revamp and re-energize their program because they are getting developed. There's no doubt about it. Mickey Marotti is phenomenal. It's hard to argue with what he's done. But I think they could add a sports science element to it that I think Ryan Day is working on pushing and make Ohio State that much better. But that's my opinion of the offense coaches. Didn't talk about tight ends because, honestly, tight end coaches should be the coordinators or their extra offensive line coaches or extra receiver coaches. Rarely are they solely a tight end coach. Rarely is he a better pass game coach than a receiver coach or a better run game coach than an O-line coach. Most of the time, that's where you put a recruiter or put your coordinator so he can run the show. So that's my opinion of the offensive side of the ball. All right, there you have it. Those are my offensive position coaches lists, I guess. We're going to talk a lot about the Ohio State schedule that came out, talk about kind of some schedule previews, talk about some conference previews. The good thing is I took the last month and really, really studied a lot of the stuff that I wanted to study, mainly the game of football, mainly the receiver position, and really who's coming back in college football next year. Who is the next Devontae Smith? Who's going to be that guy, right, that kind of takes over? So a normal episode, I will tell you, I'm going back and forth on the business model of the hybrid, $2.99 to get the full episode. I just want to make sure the audience stays peak. So I'll let you know next episode. I'll have a decision on that if you are a $3 a month subscriber already. I appreciate you, and certainly we will give you some Patreon perks to keep your subscription loyal. But and if not, I just want to make sure this show gets back where it's, or just stays where it's at, especially after a month off. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. Hope you enjoyed the content. Back next week with the defensive side of the ball. Going to talk more current events and talk about some of the shit that's going down. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. As always, I appreciate you. And if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
What a hit, Denzel Ward. You got barbecue back there and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here then. Okay, see ya.